This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Calling Grass Nation, we are conducting an audience survey at gum.fm/touchgrass. And we want to hear from you so that we can keep making content you love.
You know this. We know this. There are ads on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that experience. But in order to do so, we need to know a little bit more about you, our audience. This survey is quick, easy, and a free way to support this podcast. It'll take 2 minutes and you'll be helping us out so much by doing it.
Yes, so go to gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our audience survey. That's gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our survey. Thank you for using your precious time online to help us with our podcast.
We love you.
You got mail.
Hi, I'm Millie Tamaris.
And I'm Elise Morales.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in.
So you can log off.
Elise and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can literally do anything else with your life.
Absolutely. You could do nothing.
You could do nothing.
You could just sit and stare at a wall.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing to do.
And that's your God-given right.
That's your God-given right. And if you like what you hear today and you want to hear more, we've got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up and running with all of our test episodes, mini trending topics, a weekly newsletter, and our spin-off series, Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past.
And don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. We love reviews. We want and need more of them. We are insatiable.
Yes.
I do need an intervention for how much we need reviews.
I need my fix of reviews, reviews, reviews.
Be enablers, guys.
But it really does help people find the podcast and then for us to get more listeners, and then we get on the charts, and then everybody likes us, and then we kind of like win awards.
Webby.
There are so many awards that we could be winning.
Yeah, we should be winning more awards.
the reviews to awards pipeline. It's a straight line, friends.
We need a we need an award for most beef with J.K. Rowling.
I'll win that award every fucking year.
Every fucking year.
She ruined my life.
Yes. Okay.
She took so much of me. Okay.
Speaking of people who've given us a lot.
Yes. Someone who actually enriches our life.
Yes.
Someone who we love very much. We are super excited for our guest today. He is a writer, editor, producer, YouTube star, Al Gore impersonator, billiards enthusiast, but it's called something else, right?
Billiards is a blanket term for all cue and ball sports.
Okay, great. And the guys, the voice you just heard is the host of the very popular comedy show about environmental causes, Climate Town. It's Raleigh Williams.
Woo!
Wow. That is the single greatest intro I've ever had in my life.
Yes. Copied and pasted from your website.
I did give it to myself. Yeah, that's true.
And then I added some things. Raleigh.
Millie.
Climate Town is an amazing show with a very cool backstory. Can you tell our listeners about Climate Town and how it came to be and why you felt it was important to create?
Sure, yeah. First of all, big fan of the pod. Grass Nation. I am such a big fan of the pod that I have officially deleted my TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter apps on account of you guys provide my social media for me.
Wow.
This is a real thing.
Listen to this. We can free you.
We can free you. We free you. We're doing important work, Webbies.
Yeah, Webbies. Hi.
I know Jonathan P. Webby. I can put in a word for you guys.
Is he hot? Can I sleep with him?
Is he
a nepo baby?
I think he is asexual. His father is Jonathan Webster, the dictionary tycoon.
Listen, I didn't say. I said if he was hot.
You're right. Yeah, you could shoot your shot. Mm-hmm. He's got great defense, though. I think.
Okay. Wait. So
yeah.
You're
sorry.
Grass Nation.
I'm Grass Nation through and through. I'm so Grass Nation that I am a grassstronaut. I am out in space.
Oh my God, grassstronaut. We gotta add that into the lexicon.
Yeah. Let's ask Angelo how he feels about that because he didn't like. What was the other?
He did not like Grassic World.
Oh, Grassic World.
Oh yeah.
I just wanted to, you know, because Grass Nation, we need to dig it international.
Yeah.
We have
grassology.
Yeah. Grassologist would be somebody who analyzes.
Yeah.
I think grassstronaut. This is a term that I've thought a little bit about. It's because I'm out. Like I'm out of the influence sphere, but I am still pinging my satellite off of Go Touch Grass.
But that's who our target audience is.
Exactly,
it's people who don't know and want to know, but want to maintain some kind of mental stability.
Yeah.
And we'll feed and off
profit
ours.
Off of our yeah, instability. Ours.
That's right. That's
our
right.
Inability
Raleigh,
to log off.
Speaking of grass, tell that's us about right. your company.
Sure, sure.
The environment.
No problem. No problem. Yeah. Great. And great.
And we're not going to have any more grass and pretty soon.
I will say, best transitions in the game.
Wow.
Over here,
wow.
folks.
We work
I love
hard.
It. Real recognize real.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got a YouTube channel. It's called Climate Town, and it actually. It began as a live comedy show at kind of Caveat Theater, you know, like at Annoyance Theater yeah, first in like mm-hmm. 2017.
Where
or
I met my husband.
Yeah.
Wow, oh that's God. True.
Mm-hmm.
Dreams come true
that.
In that basement where rats
people.
Fall from the ceiling.
People, you're gonna, you're like badly influencing people. Well, if anything, it puts into context how. Danny didn't have a proper bed frame
no,
or a proper cell phone.
No, he did not.
Before they met. And it was because, cautionary tale, they met at the Annoyance Theater.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
will happen to you if you meet your husband at the Annoyance Theater.
He had a boy room.
He had a
pin,
boy room.
Pin in that discourse
yes.
for maybe a future
next guest yes.
who's coming next in thing. Here. But my husband did have a boy room.
Okay, but speaking of man room.
I'm so sorry. Can I just, Millie, did you just shame somebody for their cell phone impropriety?
Yeah.
Because that's kind of your whole thing.
Wow.
This isn't about me.
I'm sorry. All right. So at the Annoyance Theater, an improv theater where all best husbands are met.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
People out there, meet your true partner.
Oh my God.
At an improv theater. They
Every
have two
relationship
t-shirts.
That started there was healthy and good.
These men have one towel to their name.
Oh my God.
Okay. So we did this, doing this show kind of like an Al Gore on an I Told You So tour.
Yes.
It evolved into a talk show. It got to the Caveat Theater. Both of you were on the show
yeah.
at the Caveat like 50 times.
Yeah.
And then we got more and more, like, because at the Caveat Theater, you have to have like an element of education
yes.
to the show. So I was like, well, let's have climate scientists. Let's see if we can get some climate scientists on. And every time I would call a climate scientist to be like, do you want to be on this comedy show about climate change? They'd be like, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. No one is listening to what I have to say.
No one cares.
Yeah. Please put me in front of a microphone. I have important information.
It's like a room of 100 people who want to listen.
Yeah.
My God, what is that like? Yeah, so we'd get more climate scientists on, and then we'd always go to the Donnybrook Bar. Shout out to the Donnybrook,
shout
I guess.
Out.
That I fuck that place. It's fine. Well, I don't
it's,
have a.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. It gets a little crowded on the weekends.
Yeah.
With people that are
not climate scientists.
Not climate scientists.
Yes.
So we'd go out to the bar with like the cast and the climate scientist afterwards, and they would always be like, "Hey, thanks for putting on the show." And then we'd be like, "Oh yeah, climate change. That's we're gonna be okay, right?" And they're like, "No."
No.
Oh my no.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh sweetheart, no. So through that anxiety or the like just realizing that this is a bigger problem, mm-hmm. I went back to Columbia to get a climate science and policy degree.
Yes, you went and got your
this
fucking
man
master's
got a degree
to make comedy.
It's true. It was the intention, my letter of like, can I come to your university, was like, I really want to make a good comedy show about
yeah.
this, and like I need better information. And also, that was when Joe Biden was like, "Don't worry, brother, I'm going to cancel all your student debt."
Oh
like,
yeah, well,
this was I was really hoping.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Well, if you were a teacher for 20 years, maybe.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess there's still time. I could go into teaching for 20 years
for
and
20
cancel
years.
Out
so
$70,000.
You got your master's. Listen. That's a good reason to get a master's. And there are people who get a master's in climate change policy to work at Exxon. The sponsors
true.
Of the Daily. The New
God
York Times
damn,
the Daily.
They cannot stop taking that oil money. Even in even episodes about how bad oil is for the planet.
I know. They're like
sponsored
like,
by Exxon.
Do you need to say that this company is one of the sponsors of the
yeah.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. But so that is a good, I mean, and that's why you got in, because that's a good reason. To go. So then you graduate with a master's in climate policy. Then what happens?
And then,
so now you live show. What do you do?
Well, immediate, like during the degree, the pandemic hits.
Mm.
So the live show shuts down And I'm kind of like left with like everybody else trying to do like live Zoom comedy shows that feel like slowly stabbing yourself for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no more of this, please.
I teach Zoom stand-up comedy, so.
It's a class. It's a class. Class is different than when we were trying to do literal comedy shows and you couldn't hear laughter and everyone's camera was off and you're telling your jokes into a little screen and you're like, I think everyone just signed out of the Zoom while I was talking.
I did an hour long set for the Walmart corporate staff. So listen, I know. I've been in the trenches.
An hour long.
Yes, God. It was tough.
That's so bleak.
So the pandemic shut everything down, and then I just kind of pivoted to YouTube, and I dropped just for the record, every iteration of this show was me as Al Gore doing like a comedy show from the perspective of like a 75-year-old ex-politician. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, like I wasn't super in character and I never nailed the accent. It's just like whatever, like southern-ish.
It's a loose
Al Gore.
It's okay. Most people don't even remember what he was sounding like.
That's true. I was trying to buy a suit recently, and I was like, I need it to look like Al Gore. And the man was like, who are you talking about?
Exactly. So I was like, if anything, whoa, you're bringing him relevant.
I need it to look like Al Gore. What did you mean by that?
Yeah. Oh, I need it to look like an Al Gore suit, like so a suit that Al Gore wears. Yeah, but you know, like a politician suit.
Okay. And I was like, does Al Gore have like a style profile? Like,
yeah, he wears a really long coated suit, like he's in the second Matrix movie.
Yeah, he's got a drop waist.
That's so funny. So then you dropped the Al Gore.
Dropped the Al Gore.
And you just were yourself.
Just were Raleigh.
And then.
And that's when you took off.
And then it took off. It went big.
Butterflies really out there. Spread your wings.
It's really popular. Like millions of views, all your videos, a lot of subscribers. And again, it's like deep dives into like different subjects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so fucking great.
Thank you so much.
It really is. Nice and I feel like it's because the youths actually do care about this.
Yeah.
And want to know about solutions in a way that I feel like the older generation just does not realize that it's like actually a motivating issue.
Yeah, they were too busy owning property to care about it.
I know.
We don't know what that's like.
All right, before we get into the discourse, we do have one more question for you, Raleigh, because you're an important part of Elise and Millie lore.
Yes.
Is this right?
Yes.
Yes.
Can you tell our listeners about the project you created also at the Annoyance Theater that helped bring the two of us together in friendship?
Is this true that you guys did not really know each other before?
No. Like, we knew each other from around, but that's where we became friends.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was your thing, so tell people what it was.
This makes me feel great.
It's insane.
Yeah, okay, so there was one night where I was in my little Williamsburg apartment, and I got super high on the roof of my apartment.
Absolutely.
And then I was too afraid to go outside because I was a little too high. And so I was like, I'll just watch a documentary. And I just watched a documentary about the Chilean mine collapse. Mm-hmm. And it blew my mind. I was like, I had heard about this when it happened, and I just never got into it. It was the fucking craziest story. These dudes almost died so many times. They were trapped for like 18 days or 12 days without anybody thinking they were still alive. They just like kept on. It's a crazy story. And so I had just seen Sleep No More, the like immersive dance show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can fucking do that, you know? and so I wrote an immersive show about the Chilean mine collapse specifically for the Annoyance Theater because it looked like a collapsed mine.
Yes.
As a theater.
It was in a basement. You had to go down a lot of stairs to go to it.
There was one entrance and exit, and it was like cramped. So if there was ever a fire, everybody would have died.
Yeah,
it was tough. It was like it was pretty close to the unsafe working conditions of the Atacama mine. they did.
So then you cast an all Latino cast.
That's right, except for the owner of the mine
was always an evil white man.
Yeah, I think his name was like Whitey Evilman or something was his name. Yeah. That Peter Smith played for a while.
Yes.
And then they got cast on Broadway. Which is what you want. You know, like you want your cast members.
Bowen Yang was the director. And I remember at the end when we got free, he would open up the little fire escape.
Yeah, and we would all walk out.
And we would all
So it was like immersive. The audience all got hard hats.
Yeah.
And it ran fucking every Saturday for like a year. I know. I remember.
It was a long run. They kept on making, I was like, we don't want to do every Saturday. We want to do like every other Saturday, once a month, something like this. And they're like, no.
Get your ass in the mind.
It was like we were minors, you know?
Yeah, because me and Elise were minors. And also, I'm like, we didn't get paid for that show. It was like the unsafe working conditions.
Truly.
The parallels to the mine are myriad.
But the audience got to explore the mine and go into different rooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where we would each be doing different things.
There was like a smoke machine. We turned out all the lights and everybody got a mine helmet, like a hard hat and a little tiny flashlight.
Yeah.
And so like there were different parts of the space where you could like write a letter home.
Yeah.
And I would like mail the letters afterwards. Or like, I think Millie, you were, or sorry, Elise was in the back.
I did what were you stand-up. Doing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's like right, that's right.
A minor that wanted to explore stand-up. Yes. I was a minor that was a virgin.
Yeah.
And didn't want to die a
virgin. That's right.
So, I would kept like asking people, do you want to like take my virginity?
Yeah, you could be propositioned by Millie. Yeah. You could watch me do stand-up on the stage. There was a lot of options.
Yeah, Juan Nicolone was creating a new religion or something.
Yes.
And then Will Martinez would take people into the back and play a... the slowed down freaky version of Justin Bieber's Sorry and do a slow strip tease for them. It was like such a weird
fun, and it ran for a year. People loved it.
People liked it. I have secret hopes of like on the anniversary of the day they all escaped, which was like October 13th, I think.
We should bring it back
for a one-off.
That space is still open. No one has bought the old annoyance.
What? Place. No, you're kidding.
You could rent it for like baby showers or something.
We could rent it for
that. Can you imagine the baby shower that's in that space?
I know. Dark.
Gender reveal goblin.
Yeah.
Well, it used to be like a place where sex workers would... go before annoyance bought it, so there'd be
amazing
clients sometimes people would go into the theater thinking they were
gonna
get sex work, and it was an improv show, and somehow they got fucked even
worse.
Also
under a jazz club, so sometimes like you would be doing your show and there's just extremely loud jazz music playing, and you're like, well, okay,
which is like the stand-up of old, right? Isn't that like how it kind of used to be, the baseline? Anyway, I'm so happy that we could cast the two of you in those roles and that you guys could
years later we've been trauma bonded in so many ways
and now here we are
sharing our trauma for the world in the form
A podcast.
Okay. Listen.
Discourse time.
But quick PSA to Grass Nation. I'm on Discourse today, and I know that people are clamoring for our take on the Drake versus Kendrick situation.
Mm-hmm.
But we just recorded, literally last week, we recorded a super special Patreon ep getting into the push-ups. Drake's push-ups, Kendrick's euphoria, and Kendrick's 616 in LA. We spent a long time talking about it, and we thought that was it. Since then, literally 5 more discs have been released, and we're ready for it. We want to tell the listeners that in 2 weeks, we booked a friend of the pod and hip-hop journalist, Jax Morrell, to go on a deep, deep dive with us about all things Drake and Kendrick. Till then, we're going to ask Grass Nation, study up. We have one episode titled Drake versus Kendrick versus J. Cole that talks about the origins of the beef. And again, the one that we released last week that talks about the first 3 diss tracks.
Yeah.
We are going to get into it. Just wait. Again.
We have an expert.
We have an expert. And let me tell you something. Jax, he's tired. He's been working all week. He's released like 20 videos.
It's a shocking amount of content.
It's a shocking amount
of Firefest. It's a new Firefest.
Firefest like in the temple, not Firefest as in flop.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, like this is, it is all eyes of the nation are on this.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Even though Raleigh is not a hip-hop journalist, he was very excited to come on and talk things Drake and Kendrick. And was deeply let down by the news that we were not going to do that. So before we get to the discourse we are going to do, Raleigh. Now it's like in your head.
It ought to be Raleigh.
And I've said your name right before.
That's true. So literally Raleigh, hundreds of times.
Any thoughts about the Drake versus Kendrick of it all?
I mean,
what do you want to express?
What do you want to express that you were excited before. To express?
I just wanted to say how happy I have been over the past couple of days to just get to experience this as a group. Like like all of us are. This is what Twitter is for. This is what Instagram and TikTok are for. It's for like funny people having hilarious takes and like everybody building on other people's jokes. It's like an incredible improv group scene that everyone gets to be a part of. And I just think that's a really beautiful thing. I'm really happy to be part of it. Obviously, Kendrick is smashing the floor with Drake at the moment. I don't know what to tell you.
It's...
And, you know, it's like what we say, like, there's not much monoculture anymore.
No.
Everything's so niched off, which is a good thing in some ways. And then also it makes you really appreciate when there is a monoculture thing that happens.
When this happens. Yeah, I mean, SNL talked about, I feel like that's like the big, still a big marker of like, is this big enough that like SNL will talk about it because they have to like consider such like a wide swath of an audience.
Yeah, including people who like Nikki Haley.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they have to like literally consider weird Republicans and what they're making their show. So for it to reach that level, it's like, oh shit, basically everyone's heard about this.
And I just want to say again, Elise, going in again,
knew nothing.
And I was the one, and I was
Millie
like,
shepherded me through.
I shepherded you through the beefs and everything. And now at least, like, how does it feel to be in? And I mean, this is a true testament to the ethos of the podcast. Someone who doesn't know anything can now walk in.
And now I really do feel like I'm understanding all the levels of memes, because I would not have understood necessarily. I would know. I think back to who I would have been had Millie not done the Patreon episodes explaining to me the origins of the beef, right? Mm-hmm. Who I would have been, I would have known that Kendrick and Drake were beefing. I probably would have seen some of the lines, but I wouldn't have understood that J. Cole was involved in this, but backed out.
Yes.
Because he knew that it was going to get nasty.
But we were talking about, like, he didn't back out on his beef against a woman.
No, but he backed out on this one. And now, when I'm seeing these memes online, I understand the references to J. Cole. Many of the jokes are about, like, J. Cole on a private island just happy.
J. Cole it's like J. Cole was supposed to take a plane on 9/11.
Yeah, and they said, like, J. Cole got the last chopper out of NAMM. Like, literally so many different things about J. Cole removing himself from this beef, and it is because of this full context that Millie provided, and I would not have known any of that.
Yeah, and now you're providing analysis, and again, even if you're not into hip-hop, again, Swifties, this is
very
you're
similar.
Ripe for this. Yeah. This is for you. You just have to know a little bit of background, and then you can really enjoy
this.
Because it's advanced. This is advanced what the fuck Taylor Swift is doing.
Yes.
Taylor Swift is light references or whatever.
Yeah.
Drake and Kendrick, they're going for the jugular
and stuff. Yeah, this would be if like Taylor Swift released an album and was like, Olivia Rodrigo is a pedophile.
Exactly.
But like for 7 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Like a full song that's like Olivia Rodrigo has fake
and
abs.
And then Olivia Rodrigo goes back and is
BBL
like,
Rodrigo.
You just feel triggered by me because you were molested.
God.
Which is what Drake did say.
Yeah, it's getting
you guys,
really
it sounds
crazy.
Like we're getting into the
We're not.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths but have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Audible's best of 2024 picks are here. Discover the year's top audiobooks, podcasts, and originals in all your favorite genres. From memoirs and sci-fi to mysteries and thrillers, Audible's curated list in every category is the best way to hear 2024's best in audio entertainment. Like a stunning new full cast production of George Orwell's 1984. heartfelt memoirs like Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's Lovely One, the year's best fiction like The Women by Kristen Hanna, and Percival Everett's brilliantly subversive James. Audible. There's more to imagine when you listen. Go to audible.com/imagine and discover all the year's best waiting for you.
Listen back, guys. Watch this space. But till then, today, we're doing a search history type episode.
Oh, mm-hmm. Shit.
Where we're doing a deep dive into a viral discourse from the past. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into a historical, controversial brand influencer trip. Now, before we get specifics, where we get into the things, the details of this specific trip, for the uninitiated, a brand influencer trip is when a brand gets a group of anywhere between 5 to 15 influencers and they go on a free, all-expenses-paid trip to an exotic location. The catch for the influencer is that they have daily post requirements. Mm-hmm. So if you go, you know, sometimes they get a rental chalet in like the Swiss Alps,
yeah,
or Bora Bora or anywhere. But, to go, you have to sign a contract saying that you're going to post 10 posts a day and all this other shit, yeah, right? So
and tag and all
and
this
tag
shit.
And other brand guidelines. But for the most part, it's a creative way for brands to share their product with a bunch of engaged audience members. So if every influencer on the trip has 1 million followers and they're posting 10 posts a day about a beautiful, fun trip, brands have the potential to reach millions of people and have them engage with their brand and, you know, see their brand in a new way, like in this aspirational way, tell the brand story they want to tell. And again, it's like perfect. Some brands will do these brand trips around a new collection that they're dropping or, you know, stuff like that. And again, if you think about like how many people get reached through a TV commercial, mm-hmm, and it's like you can't really segment the audience the same way versus, yeah, like you can reach millions of people through these brand influencer trips. And again, the goal is, quote, like this is from like some kind of B2B magazine. The goal of a brand influencer trip is to authentic content that resonates with their audience and helps brand expand their reach while fostering long-term relationship with a community of like-minded creators and fans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while a brand influencer trip is sometimes a no-brainer for brands, the most controversial brand trips have been criticized in the past for only bringing on skinny, white influencers or making their influencers of color stay in subpar rooms like some sort of caste system. Specifically,
that's real.
That's real.
Holy shit.
That's real. Either like they put the women, you know, the creators of color on a different side, or if you have less, if you have less followers, like if you have more than a million, they take you on some excursions. If you have less than a million followers, they don't take you on everything.
Wow.
So
they put you in fucking steerage to go on the brand.
Yeah, well, you get to play the fiddle with the other, Irish
yeah,
people.
Exactly,
you know, that's kind of
exactly.
Nice.
And specifically, like that one thing that comes to mind is the Tarte.
I remember this
influencer
one.
Brand trip, which we're not talking about that, but put a pin in that discourse. We should
That's
do
a, good search
a whole fucking episode on the Tarte influencer brand trip and all the fallout because they are racist. But today we are talking about the influencer trip that was taken just under a year ago.
Wow, time does fly.
Time does fly. It felt like 5 years ago, but
I know,
it was
I was
not.
Like,
today we're talking about the Shein influencer trip.
Oh, beautiful.
Shein, the fast fashion company, which is extremely popular and has been mentioned on the show, mm-hmm, for having literal blood samples in their packages. To be
what?
Fair, we did exonerate Shein for that. It wasn't their fault. But
no.
Somebody did find
blood in their Shein. But
blood
we,
in their Shein.
Based on our investigation, this happened as a result of
the distribution
center.
Just a company that Shein directly pays to
no,
do
No, it was like at a FedEx facility.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
The blood was added later.
The blood was added later.
It always
Shein
is.
Shein would have charged money for that.
Jeez.
So,
but not a lot.
Not a lot.
They
well,
do it in bulk.
Not a lot.
No, way yeah. less than if you got it
in
at any other website.
Yeah. So in June 2023, in preparation for an initial public offering or an IPO, for Shein getting an IPO, a group of American fashion influencers and creators visited a model factory in China as a part of a tour sponsored by Shein, the internet shopping giant. And they all posted glowing reviews. The influencers traveled to the southern Chinese megacity of Guangzhou to see the company's, quote, innovation center, a bright and spacious facility featuring high-tech fabric cutters and robots that transport materials. Smiling workers were crafting clothes as the group toured the factory, with some visitors even testing out some of the tasks themselves. Let's watch a video from plus-size influencer Danny Carbonari, who we will get into later.
China trip has been one of the most life-changing trips of my life. Getting to see the whole process of Shein clothing from beginning to end with my own two eyes was so important for me. Kicking off the trip by heading to the factory of the leading manufacturer for Shein was the perfect way to start. I was really excited and impressed to see the working conditions. The next day, we headed to the Shein Innovation Center. This facility blew my mind. It's over 600,000 square feet. There's so much technology, and Shein is just such a developed and complex company, and it was so beautiful to see firsthand. I was able to interview a woman that worked in the fabric cutting department, and you guys know me, she's an investigative journalist, so I asked her all of our questions, and she answered them honestly and authentically. She was very surprised at all the rumors that had been spread in the U.S. She told me about her family, her lifestyle, her commute, her hours. Our last stop was to the Shein warehouse. This place was massive. It's about 84 acres and almost fully run by technology and automation. I was really impressed by the extensive checklist that each item had to go through before it shipped off. I think my biggest takeaway from this trip is to be an independent thinker, get the facts, and see it with your own two eyes. There's a narrative fed to us in the U.S., and I'm one that always likes to be open-minded and seek the truth. So I'm grateful for that about myself, and I hope the same for you guys.
Okay, so good.
Yeah. I'm here at the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory, and I just interviewed Olga, who says the doors are always unlocked. Yeah. Like, it's just like, you're fucking, I'm sorry. God. Like, yeah, of course the worker said that everything is great.
Have you guys ever seen those videos of, like, American journalists getting taken to North Korea to, like, yes, see the computer labs?
Well, if they're allowed in, they're not seeing the real
thing. Yeah. Exactly. It's like where they're like, hey, I actually realized that all of the students who are sitting and typing on computers and smiling, there's nothing on the screen.
Nothing, like, yeah. There's no internet. There's no power.
They're actually
power.
Typing help, 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 yeah, over and over and over again if you look at their fingers. Like, it's so, I mean, to be like, there's a narrative that's fed to us in the United States, but I went on a Chinese Communist Party
a propaganda tour.
Yeah. Fucking factory, and now I've seen the truth, girl.
Yes, girl. So Raleigh, real quick, one of my favorite episodes on Climate Town was the fast fashion one.
Oh, thank you.
So I want you know, if you can get like real simple into like,
sure,
what are some of the allegations against fast fashion companies, and why is it harmful for the environment and stuff?
Yeah, no problem. And we're actually wildly doing a kind of a follow-up video to that. I'm gonna edit it right after I leave this.
Wow.
So I'm
so
up on
energy.
All the stats right now.
Energy.
First of all, like, you know, in the 70s, America made 90+% of their clothing in America. Now it's 2%. So like, we're offshoring all the clothing, but the way fast fashion companies make all their money is by underpaying their workers, like, by a shocking amount.
Yes.
No, but the girl she talked to said that she loves it and that her hours are awesome, and that every day is fucking joy at the Shein factory.
Oh, I guess that one is right then. Yeah. So fast fashion is cool and everybody should.
Yeah, never mind.
It's like
all those fires.
Right. I mean, just the way the clothing is constructed, like, cotton gets grown in Texas, shipped to Bangladesh to get sewn together by like 9-year-old workers, then shipped to Turkey to get screen printed, then shipped to China to get tagged and bagged, then shipped back to Bangladesh to get like distribution back to America. And like, it's all this, like, you're sending the clothes like thousands and thousands of miles, and the only way to sell a t-shirt for like $7 is to underpay every single person along the line. And all these massive companies, the legislation is such that they're never held accountable for what the manufacturers are doing. So they contract the by design. Like, they've like lobbied so that they can hire a manufacturer. The manufacturer gets caught and busted for like child labor or making their like workers work 19-hour days or something. by an investigative journalist who is actually a journalist and not a, you know, Shein propaganda mouthpiece.
You know your girl's an investigative journalist, so I asked all the questions and I did not follow up on a single one. Like, what are you fucking talking about?
God. And so like it just it's a deeply emitting, underpaying process that's like, and also we're not using the clothes that we have. Yeah. Like we're overproducing so much that all of like something like 10 to 40%, I can't remember what the exact numbers, but like there are billions and billions of completely unused merchandise, articles of unused merchandise that are just like donated. But 10% of the things that are donated to like thrift stores are actually used, and the other 90% are either just like thrown in a dump or shredded to be burned or callback sent to the Atacama Desert in Chile, where the Chilean miners were trapped and piled up in giant mountains of trash clothes that sometimes burn and just release all sorts of toxic chemicals.
So they just put it in. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. What's up?
I'm an investigative journalist, and I have a couple questions. They just put it in a pile in the desert and wait till it catches on fire?
Well, so Chile, the laws in Chile, the import laws in Chile are a little looser. So for some reason, Chile has become kind of a hub for clothing, like second tier, purchase clothing. So let's say you can't sell, Shein can't sell all their t-shirts that say like killing it, you know, and so they get bought by in wholesale bulk for pennies on the dollar by Chilean importers, and then they try to sell as many of those as they can, and then the many, many millions of articles of clothing that don't sell, they need to move somewhere, and that somewhere is the Atacama Desert.
Then sometimes they catch on fire and release toxic chemicals.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is a giant pile of dry cotton. You know, it's like anything that...
If it's cotton.
Yeah, or usually like, plastic, yeah.
Yeah.
And before we move on, any thoughts about... I'm just going to ask thoughts about brand trips in general, brand influencer trips in general. How do you guys feel about that?
I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. I guess I don't have like a moral feeling about a brand trip. I think that they should not put the like black creators in weird other. Yeah. Like, I think they should be not racist.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well,
in general,
Hot take.
I feel like it does make sense if you're like a beauty company to be like, oh, we're gonna take 10 beauty influencers, give them a bunch of our stuff, have them make a bunch of content.
Yeah, you can pay like $600 or $600,000 straight to Meta, or you can take 10 influencers to Dubai and fucking.
I mean, it's the smartest business move imaginable. Yeah. I think to take people that you know people listen to, Trojan horse your own like company shit into them, and have them tell their followers about it for like $2,000. Yeah. You know, it's like the cheapest, best ad, and it comes from the influencer themselves. This was the thing, all right? Like, it's to make the influencer earnestly say they love this brand
because
they got a little bit of money from them.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the backlash.
Oh, great.
Prior to the trip, there were reports that, again, Shein's extremely cheap prices are made possible by forced labor, human rights violations, stealing other designers' work, and peddling of clothing made with potentially hazardous materials. Mm-hmm. So in May 2023, a group of 24 U.S. representatives asked the Security and Exchange Commission, SEC, to stop the IPO, until the company can verify that it does not use forced labor to create its garments. Mm. A new congressional report titled Fast Fashion and the Uyghur Genocide published.
Jesus Christ.
Yes,
I'm sorry. I did not know we were going to get Uyghur Genocide.
I'm not pronouncing anything right today. It's early. Details how Shein skirts strict import regulations established in the 2021 Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act by using their networks of Chinese suppliers and direct-to-consumer models. Most of the alleged abuses are linked to not the modernized factories that were visited by a group of influencers in Guangzhou, but to Xi'an's supply chain in the Xinjiang region of China, where the human rights abuses against the Uyghur ethnic minority have been widely documented. The U.S. banned imports from that entire region in 2021. In the 2022 British documentary Inside the Xi'an Machine, Untold, filmmakers found exhausted employees working up to 18 hours a day, often 7 days a week. The workers were required to meet strict quotas while being paid as little as $20 a day, and sometimes fined up to 2/3 of their daily wages for making mistakes. To battle that, Xi'an said, "You know what? We want to be an IPO. We're going to do this brand influencer trip and invite a bunch of people and then put our positive company message." Mm. But the pushback was swift, with comments flooding and criticizing all the influencers that went on the trip. Again, they were criticizing them for understanding the company's alleged connection to human rights abuses and the environmental impact of fast fashion. Social media users questioned why the influencers would align themselves with what they claimed were unethical values, or whether the facility they visited was representative of the production practices, which they weren't.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess no. Yeah, that the big shiny building that they took you to is not where they're actually making fucking Shein clothes.
Yeah, that's shipping like 17 shirts a day when like they make 300 million, you know, like a day or something.
So the online hate comments that they got were something like, "They showed you what you wanted to see." And then another comment was, "I tip my hat to the marketing villain that came up with this."
Marketing villain is such a good
term. Should be the title people in marketing.
Yeah, there are so many people who that's their actual job is to be a marketing villain. Yeah,
lean in.
It feels, this is another one, it feels like they used you for damage control and it's disturbing. Mm. What do you guys think?
I think the commenters are spot on with that one.
Sometimes commenters say stupid things, but sometimes they're smart.
Sometimes the commenters are... They've got their finger on the pulse.
It's really nice to know that like it didn't fool people.
They got fucking dragged.
Yeah, that's good.
I think the only people who were fooled are the people who went on the trip, but I feel like it's a self-selecting group because I feel like my guess is they probably reached out to some swath of influencers. I would guess there were probably a couple who said, "I shouldn't go on a Shein brand influencer trip," and declined. So then the ones they get are the ones who honestly are clueless enough to go on a Shein brand influencer trip and post content like what we watched, where they're like, "The narrative is false. Everything is good at Shein." Like,
yeah, that was so overwrought too.
I know.
Can I ask you guys this? What would it take?
If
Xi'an was like, "Hey, we love Go Touch Grass. We cannot get enough of this podcast. Millie, Elise, you guys are stars. We want to pay you to come out and see a factory. You don't have to do a little thing. Just see it and see what you think." What would it take? What would the dollar value?
There are very little things we would say no to.
I know.
But 10 million.
We wouldn't say yes to that.
10 million. Five each. 5 million each.
Damn, 10 million. Now you're fucking crazy. They wouldn't pay
And I don't
them.
Have
what
to post?
What if they did? You don't have to post if you don't want to.
No, then if you don't have to post, I'm going to go see.
This is how they get you.
Then I'm going on the free trip and then I'm not posting. Then also then I get there and I'm like, "Wow, the factory is amazing."
Yeah, it's like the Willy Wonka factory.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like you have to turn down the Shein influencer.
You just can't go,
you gotta
sadly.
Have morals.
I learned a long time ago, like, sometimes you know something's bad and you say yes because you're like, "I got it. I'm not going to be whatever this and that because I'm different and I blah, blah, blah." And it just ends up like in the long run. And this is specifically with a company I worked for that was so bad and abusive.
Xi'an.
It actually, any benefit that I could have had was outweighed by any positive thing. Because I'm like, it would be good for my resume. Mm. Even though I knew this place was a very toxic work environment. I was like, you know what? Whatever. No, sometimes it's just not fucking worth it.
Yeah.
So.
And again, it's like, yeah, this person got to go on this free trip, but you just leveraged your like credibility as an influencer, and now everyone's hating on you. And even a year later, a podcast is like pulling up your video and being like, remember when this shit happened? So it's like, you can really like if your business is being an influencer, you do have to think about like, if you destroy your credibility to your audience by like going on a crazy marketing villain trip, that's not good for your overall business.
You better be getting $5 million to cover the
and
cost.
Sometimes they don't even pay the people in kind
in gift
like,
cards
in,
well, and for like by covering the trip or whatever.
I don't even think they like, sometimes they don't even pay people. They literally,
I think it
just
depends
cover the
on the trip how it's structured.
Well, the backlash to the backlash, guys. Okay. Let's get into that. Some people say there's the backlash, the favorite part of the show.
I was going to get a t-shirt and write backlash to the backlash head on it.
That is a good,
that's good merch.
That's good merch. We should put a pin in that merch.
Put a pin in that merch.
That's good merch.
That's good merch. Some people say the Shein trip was especially demonic because, especially marketing villain-esque, because it specifically invited like you say the strategy was they invited a bunch of people, and the people that said yes, it's self-selecting. What people came to the conclusion was that they specifically invited a group of underrepresented people that frankly other brands would overlook, like majority people of color and plus size influencers and all that stuff.
That's so dark.
Villainous. They knew these people. And again, the brands like Tarte and all this stuff, they're not inviting a group of women of color or plus size women, you know what I mean? They're inviting the Alex Earls, the skinny white, you know what I mean? So these, so
they
it's like,
kind of went to people who maybe this would be their first ask to be on a brand trip.
Exactly.
They're not inoculated against it.
So they don't know to watch that, you know? And they were so excited, they didn't do their research and think critically about everything. And again, one of the people that got the most ire was a plus size model, Danny Carbonaro, who we saw that video earlier.
The Carbonaro effect,
Or Danny DMC. And she's a plus size model and content creator who refers to herself as a confidence activist.
The confidence activist.
We've pinned her before. The confidence activist. She has 500,000 followers on Instagram. Huge on TikTok. Huge on everything. So she became the face of the Shein influencer trip. And then, you know, and then people went back and found her content. And it's really interesting because it's sincere and nice and has a good message, but it's super cringe. Like she'll just have like a piece of paper and she'll put her middle finger next to it, and the piece of paper will say like racism, and she's like, fuck racism.
Well, that's how we beat racism though. So I mean, we have
and
heard
clearly
a thing.
She's a white plus size woman. So as people were circulating, specifically in Black Twitter, the Black Twitter's Shein influencer trip weekend was great. It was another monoculture thing, or like at least Black Twitter was having a fucking ball with it. Then they found Danny Carbonari, plus size white woman who's a confidence activist, and somebody, I remember specifically, somebody was like, I know that there's a fine ass black man who don't play about her, which may basically mean like, I bet you she has a really hot black boyfriend. And guys,
no.
She had a hot black boyfriend.
Wow.
He had like, God bless her,
super cut abs, and they were doing like dance challenges together and all the video surfaced. So then she was getting roasted. First of all, confidence activist, which again, for her followers, was probably really inspiring to see like a beautiful plus size woman like being a mom. But because she aligned herself with the Shein brand influencer trip, it fucked her up. She released this video just days after returning from the trip. She came back from the thing, has been getting roasted for days, and posted this.
I wanted to come on here and clarify a couple things after yesterday's live. The first thing I want to make abundantly clear is I have terminated my relationship with Shein upon returning from the trip, and I will no longer be aligned with them or work with them in any capacity now or ever in the future. I made a huge mistake. I always try to lead with me, my younger self, and my community in mind. And I let us down. I did us wrong. I led us to the wrong path, and I'm very aware of that now. I am ready to take accountability and look at myself and look at my role in my industry. And I'm gonna take a couple weeks off. I'm gonna reevaluate, rebalance, and I'm going to come back, and I'm gonna be better, and I'm gonna be stronger, and I'm gonna continue the fight for us in a new way and continue to be an even better pioneer for the plus size community. So thank you, and I'll see you then.
Okay.
Guys, thoughts?
I mean, I think that it was a good apology. Mm-hmm. In
it's
terms
a great apology.
Of apologies. Yeah.
I made a mistake. I severed all my relationship. That's good. Yeah. We
Yeah. I feel like we have to allow people to come back from having gone on the Shein influencer. Yeah. We have to allow people to grow from who they were when they went on the Shein.
Yeah. She said her younger self, and I'm like, from 5 days yeah. early. Yeah.
But, I mean, there is something to that idea that, like, I don't know. Yeah, you target, like, slightly smaller creators. They get stars in their eyes. Yeah. I do think you have a responsibility to do a little bit of Googling. And the fact that she references the narrative in that first video is, like, you were aware that people think that this place is operated by sweatshops. And, yeah. Like, you know yeah. what the narrative is if you're referencing it. So I think there's a little bit, I side eye a little bit this, like, I'm educating myself now, but also I don't think that she's perpetrated, like, such evil that we can't allow the confidence activist to come back after 2 weeks.
I think that's a really shrewd take. I was like, my first reaction was like, oh, that's a great apology, way to go. And then I'm like, that's a great apology for a person. Mm-hmm. She's an influencer. Like, if you want to position yourself as somebody who, like, shepherds a flock, mm-hmm. you need to have better foresight for, like, yes. the way things operate in the real world. So, like, I'm glad she apologized. I don't think she should really be doing a lot of influencing. Get out over her skis.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I feel like, yeah, as an influencer, yeah, as a person, it's a good, I feel a lot of things. As a person, it's what a good apology. I'm a feeling activist, which is just means I'm a Cancer.
me too.
Yes, I know. That's wow. why, that's hell why yeah. we get along, right? What's it to say? So I feel a lot of things, right? She, as a person, it's a good thing, but as an influencer, you do have a responsibility to, like, care about your fucking followers and do good. And I will say the sad thing is that people do not fucking care about their followers. Specifically, I'm thinking of somebody like Dan Portnoy, who is a pinned discourse. We gotta get into the barstool of it all. Of, like, you're purposefully, like, there are just some people will purposefully, like, push anything for fucking money and they do not care. But they get the results they get. But if you're in this thing of, like, pushing this these vulnerable communities into being more competent and stuff, like, you have to do the research. At the end of the day, though, like, what I kind of feel like now that a year's passed, it's like, okay, it was funny to make jokes about her, but it's like, it's again this like huge mega corporation that's making a lot of money, that manipulated, like, oppression to get these vulnerable people. I'm not gonna say, like, these are, like, fucking completely oppressed people, but yeah, like, there are people who don't get these opportunities and they gave them an opportunity or whatever. And then it just reminds me of, like, the Shein thing, to kind of put it into context, like, a lot of companies do this thing, like Google or Meta or something, where, like, Google, like, if you're a Google employee, you have great benefits, you get to, like, have the fucking cafeteria and laundry and all this breakfast, nice shit. Yeah. But the majority of the work for Google is done by contractors who don't get any benefits, who don't get anything, blah, blah, blah. And they get these third-party agencies to whatever. Mm. And that is the reality. So it's like, yeah, for the, like, 1% of employees or 5%, like, so what happened is she went to a Google or, like, to the head office and was like, wow, this is nice. Because, again, if you go to the Google head office, it's really nice. But I used to date somebody who was a contractor for Google. And he's like, it fucking sucks. Like, we see all these people. They had like a company like out day where they like rented out like Coney Island for all the Google people.
Coney but
the
contract, Island.
Yeah, the Coney Island.
Oh god,
like, amusement park.
They got to go
on all the rides and all the stuff.
Adventureland or whatever.
And Luna Park.
Luna Park.
But the contractors didn't get to go, so they all have to stay back and work all day while like the people who you know. And work again, who is? Yeah. And again, if you look at the racial breakdown of who's actually like a Google employee versus a Google contractor. Anyway, that being said, so we did this thing because we were like, this is a funny thing in the past, right? That we can go back into and talk about. And some, you know, I feel like there's a lot of really mystic messages and all these things from the universe that tells me and Elise that like this was the right place, right time.
Yeah,
we did the podcast at the right time of our lives, all these things, and the universe just gives us signs. So we knew last week that we were gonna, oh well, let's talk about the Shein influencer trip with Raleigh. He has really great fast fashion stuff and all this stuff, even though it's like not, you know, it's not super topical, but whatever. And then guys, last weekend, as soon as Elise left my house when we were recording, last weekend, boom, she goes, the confidence activist goes viral again on Black Twitter because this article, this picture of an article comes out and it says, quote, life as a mixed weight couple.
And no!
And her hot ass black boyfriend, and they talk about life as a mixed weight couple. I tried to find the article, so I don't know where it is. But she got roasted all weekend, and it felt it was again, yet again, topical.
Wow! She's bad. Millie, honestly, when you sent me this picture of life as a mixed weight couple, I did not realize that was the confidence activist. I thought you were just sending me something funny, and I was like, "LOL, this is so funny." I did not even realize
that's the confidence activist.
That's the confidence activist.
Confidence
is
activist.
Part of life as a mixed weight couple.
Yes, she's getting.
She looks great in that picture.
Yeah, she's very beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
She's very beautiful. Yes. And so is her hot.
They're a beautiful mixed couple. Weight couple.
Mixed weight.
Yeah. So, emphasis on the mixed weight. Yes. We must always reference that when we talk about couples. My God.
So of course, Twitter was
Twittering
yeah.
about that mm-hmm. so hard that I'm like, the universe knew we were going to talk about the confidence activist.
Wow.
Life as a mixed weight couple is so funny.
Did she like write that article for somebody or what's the?
Well, I couldn't find the article. I just found the.
Was it just a picture?
I just found the picture. But
we don't do articles anymore.
Life
we just
as a mixed weight couple. And of course, it was all Daily Mail and New York Post articles that were so incendiary, racist and fatphobic. But yeah, I couldn't find that specific one.
Mm. Very interesting. I mean, if it wasn't like written by her, it was like an interview pitch to her in some way, shape, or form. All right, y'all. It's time. We're staying on influencer talk today because it is time for Grasshole of the Week.
Oh, Raleigh, what a section.
I know you know, but Grasshole of the Week, for anyone listening, is our segment where we tell someone, we decide who needs to log off the most.
Yes.
This can be loving. This can be not so loving.
It hasn't been loving in a while.
Yeah, it hasn't been loving in a while. It's mostly not. Mostly not, but we like to leave room for it to sometimes be loving. This one I think is kind of a not, but not like this isn't the worst person we've ever talked about, but they do need to log off.
Okay.
This week's Grasshole is Catherine Asplund Nay Driscoll.
One of her names is Nay.
No, that's her. It's like that thing, like N-E-E, whatever. I don't know if you pronounce it Nee.
Oh,
but
I don't
her,
know what that is.
Oh, it's how you say, like, that was their maiden name.
Oh, like, I've never heard of that.
Nay, Nee, whatever. Anyway.
Okay. Elise is fucking so well versed in titles.
in titular.
You must be.
In the ways to respond to people or refer to people. Anyway, who is Catherine Asplund Nee Driscoll? Okay, so she's a micro-influencer. I think you would categorize her as that. She's got 14.5K followers on Instagram.
Wow, less than us.
Yes, but But her videos are racking in like minimum 200K views. Okay, so right. And my last video absolutely flopped in the algo. So I can't.
I can't say shit.
To, I really can't say shit to her. She's making those 14.5K work for her. And God bless. She's got 82,000 on TikTok.
Okay.
So micro influencer, I think, is anyone like under 100K. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure, but she recently married into a billionaire family. I question this. Everyone is referring, in all the stuff I found about this, they refer to this family as billionaires, but I kind of think maybe they're just like mega millionaires.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
not a Jeff Bezos.
Like not that. A Jeff Bezos, because she married the heir to the Aspland Tree Experts Company, which is a company that will remove trees from your property, which I'm sure you
I
can
feel
make a
like, is it those orange trucks? I feel like I've seen them.
I mean, do they have those big, like, do they remove a live tree or a... Because that's just, you're just talking about a woodsman at this point.
Yeah.
No, like, I think it's like the shredding machine.
Oh, and it like...
Yeah. You know, I didn't look that much into okay. what Aspland Tree Experts Co. does, but her new, I think it's her grandfather-in-law is Carl Aspland, who is Dr. Oz's wife's maternal grandfather. So we're talking about like CCDDD list billionaires. Also, I think her new father-in-law is Chris Aspland Jr., who is married to celebrity fitness trainer Tracy Anderson of the Anderson Method, which is like very famous. I think she trains like J-Lo and like a bunch of... she's like a famous fitness lady. She's probably the most famous person that's actually involved in it.
Okay. Man, the Asplands are knocking at the door of celebrity-dom.
Absolutely.
They're close.
They're getting there. They're marrying in.
Absolutely. So as you can imagine, her wedding was a big feature of her TikTok and Instagram persona. She got married like 2 weeks ago at this point. I've screenshotted some posts. Here's them traveling to the wedding. She's got a post for that. You'll notice all her comments are off, and we'll get into why in a moment. here's a post about Wedding Wednesday, which I think is just the Wednesday before your wedding. Here's the night before the night before. So this is the night before the night before your wedding. And then, of course, we've got the wedding itself and the rehearsal dinner, which is many, many posts. But okay, so posting about her wedding is not why Catherine... is the grass hole.
Although, guys, let's keep it cute with wedding posts.
Yeah, yeah. Less is more.
Yeah, I can't say... I have to leave space for the fact that maybe I posted this much about my wedding. So I, you know, once again, maybe I'm the grass hole. But either way.
Yeah, once yet again.
I guess it's possible that if Millie or I ever get married... we might post a lot of this. So.
The wedding like, Wednesday, yeah. night before the night before.
I don't know if
before.
I'll do wedding Wednesday, but maybe the night before the night before.
I get like being like, oh, my dress came. Like, I feel like the week of your wedding, it is a lot of like stuff is happening where you're like, oh my gosh, we're boxing up all this stuff. Like, blah, blah. Like, so I get it. Especially if you're a pretty blonde influencer girl, like, I understand. But the reason Catherine is the grass
hole. Tell us about why she's a grass hole.
Is because 1 week ago, so like roughly a week after her actual wedding took place, maybe less, Catherine went viral in the subreddit NYC Influencer Snark.
Which is a dangerous.
Which is a subreddit where people
talk shit about influencers.
Talk shit about influencers. Ooh. And some of them are people we know.
Oh, no.
We know people we've had on. People.
Yeah. NYC Influencer Snark is scary, but. Basically, she goes viral in there because someone posts in NYC Influencer Snark that Catherine Aspland tried to bully her into giving her username. So this other person, the original poster, is also named her given name is Catherine Aspland.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
New Catherine Aspland is Catherine Aspland Driscoll, okay? She used to be Catherine mm-hmm. Driscoll. Now she is Catherine Aspland.
Heir to the strawberry fortune.
Heir to the tree thing.
No, strawberry. Driscoll strawberry.
Yeah, oh, right,
former
okay.
strawberry heiress.
Former strawberry,
tree
now
expert
tree.
Removal.
The original post says, this just happened today. I use this account to post and archive photos. I don't want to post on my main account. I thought it was a scam at first. I would have given her my username, but her attitude threw me off. So, Raleigh, we're going to do a reading. Why don't you be good, Catherine Aspland, so you'll be in purple.
Okay.
And I will be evil Catherine Aspland, Nidriscoll.
Yeah.
This is all taking place in Instagram DMs. Millie, you will react.
Okay.
Hi, I was wondering if I could purchase your username from you. Just got married and this is my new name.
Hi, congrats. That's my name too. I just Googled it and selling my username would get me banned from Instagram.
I purchased a username in the past and actually that's not true. Celebrities do it all the time. That's how all of their handles have their full names. So weird. I didn't know there was another Asplund family out there. There's no Catherine Asplund in our family. I see that you're not active on here, but you started Instagram in 2018, but changed your username 3 times. Is there any way I can get you to change your username 1 more time? Laughing emoji, laughing emoji, laughing emoji, laughing emoji.
This is my Finsta. I use it for private stories. I don't want to get banned. Sorry.
I actually don't believe that your name is Catherine Asplund. Who would make their Finsta their actual name? I reported you to Instagram and they're actually able to tell me your real name. I hope I don't know you because that's going to be really embarrassing for you.
Oh my God, this woman is a psycho. You can report me.
Just did, and my fiance did too.
You're asking me to do something to get my account banned. I doubt Instagram would take that lightly.
I'm asking you to change your username because you were pretending to be someone you're not.
Raleigh's face.
My name is Catherine.
Which is illegal.
Nope. You asked to purchase my username, which goes against the Instagram rules. I just reported you.
The family I married into is the only Asplund family in the U.S.
I'm not American.
Do you have proof that that is your name? Would love to see that.
Why do I have to send you any proof of who I am? This is my account. I've had it since 2018. I'm sorry we share the same name, but just because you got married doesn't mean you can have my username. If you were nice, I would have considered giving it to you for free. But you weren't. I reported you for asking me to sell my account and another report for harassing me. Have a good day.
Boom. Okay, so wow. That is the interaction. Yeah, so reactions, Millie, to the performance that you just saw. Reactions.
I mean, performance was great. Performance was great. I would say we have some friends who like made a kind of like a video series, Karen versus Karen, mm-hmm. where they try to out Karen each other. And I feel like this is the, I was like, I'll report you. No, I'll report you.
You're pretending to be someone you're not. You're trying to get me banned from Instagram. I'm like, it's like, okay. But I mean, it is just so funny how quickly she shifted from like, hey, can I get you to change your username? You're pretending to be me, aren't you? There's no Asplunds in the U.S. This person's like, I'm not from the U.S.
Such crazy main character syndrome. Like, there are a lot of ways to talk to a stranger to do you a favor that you want them to do. That going straight to like, fuck you, you're impersonating me, this is illegal. That's a crazy job.
Yeah, I'm like, show me your birth certificate.
Yeah.
I would be like, birther. I'll give you $2,000, $5,000, $10,000.
Yeah.
Very little I would say no to except for a Shein brand influencer trip for $10,000.
It's so funny. So obviously this post goes super viral in the Reddit. People do not like it. The post then makes it over to the NYC influencer snark Instagram, where things get even more heated because Catherine Asplund's brother, something Driscoll, Burke or Dirk Driscoll or whatever the fuck,
starts getting
in the comments being like, she thought she was talking to a troll who took the username to spite her. The username was available a week ago. And it's like, you should have snagged it a week ago then. I don't know. Like, if it was, so she's trying to say, like, she thought that someone
Got it because it's main character syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this person's like, I've had this account since 2018. Whatever.
Which like she kind of knew. I guess the like changing of the username is something. Just like be 50% nicer for twice as long, even and you would have the username.
Even if this is a troll that's doing it to spite you, like coming at them crazy is not gonna help either.
Yeah.
So now, as a result of this, even as of today, comments are off on all of her accounts, and every variation of Catherine Asplund is taken on Instagram. So now the real Catherine Asplund, Catherine_Asplund_cat.Asplund.
And it's people like trolling Catherine Asplund?
Yes. Some people wrote like the real Catherine Asplund, her like, what it says under her name is entitled and delulu. Another one says be kind. Like people are literally taking every variation now of the username that's possible. So it's very Barbara Streisand effect.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
She could have gotten Catherine Asplund underscore, but now it's like she's not getting anywhere near that name.
And now, like, her career of being an influencer, if all the comments are off on your accounts, like, you're not doing any influencing.
Yeah, it's not good. Like, she has posted, but yeah, it's, you got to have the comments on so that people can interact.
Engage, and then
pretty.
It gets
pretty. Oh my God.
The only thing that can save her is she an influencer?
Yeah. Maybe lean
she
in.
Does, but she doesn't lean need, you know, she's not shopping at Shein. She's a tree billionaire. So another TikToker found this. It is a TikToker whose username is Oops, I Gossiped Again. She found a video that has since been deleted from Catherine Asplund Nadrithgal's account that is so funny when you consider what has occurred.
Can I ask, how do you find deleted videos? How are these?
A lot of people will save it, and because the first Shein video was deleted too.
Mm.
It's people will save it to their phones and then download, like users, yeah, will do.
Okay, so
nothing,
she found
deleted
a video that, like, Catherine had, somebody had down, like,
usually
saved.
when some shit is going down, before somebody gets to delete things, everyone will scour through
and save anything.
And save everything.
Wow.
So I think
the archivists.
Archivists,
I
exactly
think that that's what happened here, is that Catherine did not delete this video quickly enough for someone to not save it.
This is the story of Catherine's life. She's just not quite on the ball enough.
No.
She's not getting the username. She's not deleting the videos.
No.
This is the best part that I came across in all of this.
Something else that low-key bothers me is when girls get married and it's not even like 10 minutes after they're like do their vows, like they're like, oh, go on my Instagram, let me change my last name already. I'm probably gonna wait a couple months. I don't know, I just think it's like a little bit a lot when I see girls change it like before I even knew they were fucking married. Like, chill.
So that's her. It gives her the ick for people to change their name right away. And meanwhile, fast forward to her own wedding, she's harassing people on Instagram to give her the username of her new name.
I have a devious little thought here.
Mm-hmm.
What if somebody saw that video, was like, oh, really? Okay, well, I will, like, this, the what we think is the good Catherine Driscoll, or Catherine Asplund guys, or whatever.
Asplund.
Yeah, what if she saw that and was like, oh, I see an opportunity here, and parked in that username?
Well, why would she say no to the selling? Cause,
that's a good
that
point.
Is,
it's not a, it's not a well-thought-out theory. It doesn't
do
hold up
that
to scrutiny.
Like, let's say Sabrina Carpenter, this is like, or somebody who's upcoming, right? Like, they just have a hit song, people will go and buy SabrinaCarpenter.com so that they could sell it to Sabrina Carpenter's team, and Sabrina Carpenter will have to fucking pay. If she wants SabrinaCarpenter.com, has to pay $15,000 or whatever.
Right.
But then you would just sell it.
Yeah,
I think that's
true.
What Catherine Asplund thought this was. But even if that's the case, she's still got to go touch grass, because you have to know you can't come at people like that and immediately be like, prove who you are. I know you're not an Asplund. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, you're not going to get what you want.
No.
And you're going to go viral at NYC influencer snark.
I know. And also, it's just like, guys, throw money at the problem.
I know.
Money,
well, I guess
really
he was trying, but this person was like,
but
I don't
you got to offer money, $5,000.
Throw a number out there. Yeah,
yeah,
she was just
number.
Like.
So this girl's like, okay, well, if I get my Instagram account banned, like, then it's worth $5,000.
Yeah.
Mm. For
or,
our Finsta?
Or snag that handle.
Yeah.
And you saw it was free. She said she saw it was free. So, Catherine Asplund, I'm sure you're going to be fine, but go touch grass.
Go touch grass.
And
go
that's the end
grass
of our show.
Yes. Well, Raleigh, any thoughts on that or anything?
That is, it's really interesting. One of my favorite things in the world is like having somebody be like, I would never do this thing. This is a crazy thing. And then you go find a video of them being like, so I'm going to do this and I'm going to really love it.
Yeah.
I think it's so
I'm
going to
wait a couple of months before I change my name.
A week later.
Yeah.
You are not who you say you are. I'm the only Asplund in the United States. Like, girl, come on.
I've reported you and my husband has reported you.
Yeah. The reporting wars.
Yes, reporting wars. Guys, yeah, this was
a great show.
Raleigh, we
Thanks
loved
so
having
much.
You. Where can our listeners follow you?
Best place to find me is listening to Go Touch Grass podcast. But the second best place, I have a little podcast also.
Yes.
It's called The Climate Deniers Playbook.
Yes.
It's me and Nicole Conlin.
Beautiful. Love her. Good friend. Love
her. My friend from elementary school, if you can believe it.
Writer on The Daily Show.
Writer on The Daily Show. And then I also have a YouTube channel called Climate Town.
Yes.
So check that out.
You can follow Raleigh on Instagram at
Rolly Williams.
It's Rolly when it's on Instagram.
Yeah. Or at Climate Town. I don't have the problem of having to buy usernames from other people because I have a very specific name. So at Rolly Williams everywhere.
Guys, you can follow our podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything. You can follow me at Pandalise on Instagram. Though, again, if you work at Meta, I would like to change my username. I would like, if you are the person who has Elise Navidad on, I would like to come to you with respect.
Yeah. And like $100.
But I don't want to get you banned, but we can talk offline about kind of an offering.
Because Elise Navidad, you have to get
I do have to get, but I also have to figure out how to change my username. There's a lot of different steps, if you are Elise Navidad on Instagram, I will come to you with respect once I figure out those first steps. Anyway, you can also follow me at Elise Navidad on TikTok.
Prove your last name is Navidad.
Somebody took at Millie Tamarez, so on Instagram, I'm at Millie_Tamarez, and also on TikTok, at Millie_Tamarez, but on Twitter, I'm Millie Tamarez. Also, guys, check out our Patreon. We have the beef episode. Again, we get into Drake versus Kendrick. Get into plus size influencers versus Ozempic.
Yep.
And finally, we get into the most controversial beef of last week. The city of New York versus the couple that fucked under the blanket at Battery Park City. Blanket couple.
All of that's on the Patreon,
all of that
guys.
Is on the Patreon.
And until next time,
go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.